For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin. During the Civil War, while hundreds of thousands of men went off to fight, their wives, daughters, sisters, and mothers had it every bit as hard staying home. Joe Corcoran concludes his three-part series on women of the Civil War during this Women's History Month, looking at the new roles women had to take on, roles still being felt today, speaking with WKU Civil War historians Dr. Jack Thacker and Dr. Glenn LaFantasy.
And it was difficult. The farmer's wife, with her husband gone, and a very good possibility that her sons had gone to war as well. The women left behind on the farm had to take over, keep the farm going, begin doing tasks that normally were the domain of men, and the domain of women in the period before the Civil War was inside the household. It was the woman's job to raise the children, to take care of the home. The male worked outside the home, the husband, the brother, the sons. And so women now found themselves in an entirely different sphere of activity that was required of them.
Well, now, one thing did help. That is, in a lot of light industry, we'd already begun to mechanize. The Industrial Revolution had already started. So in a lot of the light industry, women were able to do some of those jobs in textile mills.
Mechanization also had already changed agriculture, at least in the north. The McCormick Reaper had been developed already, and there were mechanized threshers available. It doesn't take away from how hard a job farming was then, and these women had to do it. They didn't especially like it after a while. Historians have shown that in the first stages of the Civil War, where patriotism was at its height in the Union or in the Confederacy, women willingly sent their men off to war to do their patriotic duty, to defend the country, and were fully supportive patriotically of that effort. But as the war wore on in both sections, then attitudes began to change. And their letters take a turn. Generally speaking, letters from wives and mothers to soldiers begin very enthusiastically to support the war and then later say, why can't you just come home? And in some instances, families sent two soldiers, husbands, brothers, sons, civilian sets of clothes. And this was meant as a temptation for desertion. Why don't you come home?
Well, there's also a tendency sometimes, especially in the Southern armies, that toward the end of the campaigning seasons, or September, October, November, they did go home. And you know, it came back in the spring in terms of it. But if you take a look at the number, the casualty numbers after the Battle of Chattanooga on November 20th, 1863, there's a huge number of, quote, missing from the Confederate Army after their defeat at Chattanooga. So, indications are a large number did go home.
Yeah. In the South, especially if a family was, you know, well off enough to have slaves, were women, one, comfortable now in running the household, ordering the slaves, and did the slaves obey the woman of the house as they did the man?
It became very difficult because slave society was structured on a patriarchal organizational hierarchy, and males were at the top. You remove the males from the top, the women attempted to assume those duties but felt enormously uncomfortable because dealing with the slaves, ordering the slaves to do things or punishing the slaves for disobedience had always been a male activity. And here were these women who now were confronted with very new challenges, including psychological challenges, of readjusting to this new world. It also changed attitudes, their attitudes toward the war effort itself. Similar dynamic going on in the North, though, as well is that just the hope that these men could come home and assume their rightful place, except for the women who experience a breakthrough of their own, and a breakthrough in the history of gender and the history of gender relations. And that is people like Dorothea Dix and Clara Barton other nurses, less known, not famous, had been put in a new situation in which they had proven themselves as being capable. They were in work situations. They had dealt with matters of authority, management, conducting their own job duties responsibly and efficiently. This gave women a new sense of themselves, and scholars attribute the rise of the feminist movement, which had begun in the North in the late 1840s, an outgrowth of abolitionism. Well, it's spurred on by these women who become very knowledgeable, very capable, and see themselves now in a very different way, not always as dependents to males, as subordinates to males, but people who could function on their own in a male society.
So in a very real way, both in the North and the South, did we see a social change toward a more matriarchal society even when the men came home when the war was over?
Not instantaneously and not really to a great degree. Patriarchy would still exist with men as the head of the household. There was some resentment among women industry workers, like happened in almost every war, that when the war is over, the men come home and take their jobs away from them. Here are women who had finally become wage earners in one way or another, and now the men, the returning soldiers, are displacing them. What happened in the South is interesting, is that much of women's efforts after the war in the South, in the former Confederate states, moved away from the services of providing nursing or philanthropic services like preparing what we would call care packages to send off to the soldiers. You knit some socks and you send them some candy or an apple pie. It moved away from that kind of activity during the war to remembrance of the soldiers and their courage after the war. And, of course, the United Daughters of the Confederacy is probably the most famous of these women's groups that has long survived since the Civil War. That experience, however, in the South with organizations like the United Daughters of the Confederacy also instilled in women a slightly greater sense of independence, to the point where historians do acknowledge that the UDC contributed a fairly good number of vital members to the women's suffrage movement later in the early 20th century. So here are Southern women that at first are protected standing on a pedestal before the Civil War and then in the South somewhat through the Civil War. But by the time the 20th century comes, some of those same women are now in the forefront of saying it's about time that we got the vote in this country. In the North, there's a similar kind of transition among these new assertive women who have found a rather new identity for themselves, not just as mothers and wives, not just the maternal roles, but now roles that they could actively pursue in the public sphere outside the home.
WKU Civil War historians Dr. Glenn LaFantasy and Dr. Jack Thacker. In case you missed one of the reports in this series or would like to hear them again, go to our website at wkyufm.org and click on Civil War Series under Categories at the bottom of the page. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Modlin.